The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
It's a good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. This is a week where baseball has just overtaken the valley. There's not a ton that is going on here locally, but there is if you dig deep enough. And there's things to me that are always interesting. We will have Talk to the Lopes today. Very much looking forward to having Mike Vaught on the show, the director of athletics over at Grand Canyon University. They have gone through 10 construction projects in the last 2 years. And yet, when I put out a question this morning on Twitter of what you want me to ask, and most everybody said, are you bringing football over? So I'm going to ask him about that. And other things, too, with Mike Vaught. That comes up just after 11 o'clock with Talk to the Lopes. Jody Jackson is going to join us this morning. And those of you that watch the show through the years know that I really like having Jody on the show because she's just so talented. She has so many different views on the sporting community. She's been watching the Coyotes here recently. If you've not been watching the Coyotes, they've won 5 of 7. Has this miserable run through the years finally come to an end? Have they finally turned the corner? And the NHL trade deadline is coming up. Add to that, Jody, of course, does an awful lot around the Diamondbacks, so we will get her view on the big deal that happened yesterday on JD leaving and so on and so forth. That will be with Jody Jackson at 10:35. We will probably make fun of her because at Fan Fest Day, they had a cutout of Jody. You know you've arrived when you have a cardboard cutout, and she arrived much before that. That'll be with Jody Jackson. We'll talk to her about Steven Souza, the big trade yesterday with the Diamondbacks and the Yankees. Jordan is out at the Diamondbacks this morning, and he's going to Skype in at about 10:20. So Mike Hazen just wrapped up talking with the media about the big trade yesterday that the Diamondbacks pulled off and really the makeover of all of it. So Jordan will join us out at the Diamondbacks facility via Skype. That'll come up in about 9 minutes. So we have a busy show today. A lot of it is going to be baseball related. Although I think when you look at the sports stories of the day here locally, clearly the Diamondbacks are the number one story. Nationally, this Mark Cuban stuff. Yesterday it was Mark Cuban admitting to players over a dinner that he wanted them to lose games intentionally. And then it becomes where one of his employees and inappropriate behavior and an Animal House type atmosphere. And that is really dominating the sports news nationally today. So I'm going to get into some of that. And yesterday, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, he got into town and met with people on Pace of Play, met with media on Pace of Play. What is on my mind right off the top, brought to you by Sagicor Now. Guys, protect what matters most. All you have to do is log on to Sagicor Now and check in on your life insurance. When I say protect what matters most, when was the last time that you looked at your family and said, do I have my life insurance taken care of? Do I have everything in place? Have you not been doing that? Have you just resisted? You can just simply do it by going to SagicorNow.com and log on, get your free quote, and go right through it. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. So this trade yesterday for the Diamondbacks, Steven Souza Jr. comes over from Tampa Bay. I was not surprised that Brandon Drury was traded away. The Diamondbacks sent Drury over to the Yankees. Anthony Banda was part of that deal. I was surprised that Anthony Banda was sent. I'm never one that likes to see pitching depart. But when you look at what they are lacking within the lineup and the protection for Paul Goldschmidt and a contract that is very friendly, I'll get more into that with Jordan here in about 8 minutes over at the Diamondbacks facility. The deal looks very smart. Like, this seems to me to be a deal that just makes perfect sense in that it's not a guy that's going to walk. Look, they rented J.D. Martinez, and he came here as a mercenary and did what he was supposed to do. If you don't like the word mercenary, that's what he was. He told Detroit, I am not going to resign here. So Detroit said, you're going to be traded. He came, he saw, he did what he's supposed to do, got the team to the postseason, and then he got paid. In the case of Souza, he's still under control by the team. 148 games last year, hit 30 home runs, 70 runs batted in, but 65% of the time, just 65% of the time he made contact. I can go through analytics. I try not to be an analytic guy top to bottom. I'm just not. I don't play in that space. I look at ball players, and if you just break down numbers, you don't see the overall value. It's important, but it's not the number one view in my book. Maybe in Arizona, the number one view for Mike Hazen and for Ken Kendrick and Derek Hall is, what does the contract look like so we can play within the means that are given to us here in Arizona? You may say, and I do believe this to an extent, they're making gobs of money off of all sorts of contracts, and they can afford to go out and spend when needed to do so. They didn't need to do so with Steven Souza because, I don't know, AJ Pollock's sitting over there with a big number looking at him. We all know that Paul Goldschmidt is completely, totally underpaid. And if they have a way and a plan to get out from under Greinke's deal, then this is the way that you go. You get find somebody who control their number for a few years. The Diamondbacks bring him here. They're going to put him out in right field. And then what do they do with the rest of their outfield? They're going to put him as, I shouldn't say right field. They're going to put him in the corner outfield position. So what do they do? What are the positions that they look at now as they go into spring training and say, we don't have everything figured out? We've gotten past the J.D. Martinez situation. I think fans should feel good about that. If you're bitter over J.D. Martinez leaving, I would say you need to get over it. Just do. You have some protection. Is it J.D. Martinez protection? We'll see. We'll see. There's better plate discipline if I'm to believe the people whose opinions I really trust. People's opinions I really trust to see that Souza had better plate discipline last year. So that deal comes down. What happens now in the middle infield? What happens at shortstop? What happens at second base? That's what I'm looking at here as camp gets underway. And again, we'll go down to Jordan and have Jody Jackson join us a little bit later on in the show. Jay Triano made a statement yesterday. If I'm going to switch over to our hometown heroes on the hardwood, Jay Triano made a statement yesterday that he wants to be the coach of the Suns long term, you know, not just this season, would like to be the guy permanently. And so as you watch the Suns play under Jay Triano, have there been times where it's been just awful? And I don't think it's a reflection on Triano. I think it's a young team. I think that there are players that have hit the wall. And there may be some players that are saying, I'm not getting mine, guys like Marquise Chriss. And they just are not going to figure it out. If you watch the show for any point of time, you know that I'm not a Marquise Chriss guy. Don't care how high he dunks. Don't care how high he jumps. Don't care. I want to see the complete. All I see is foul problems, lack of minutes, somebody who just doesn't at times seem engaged, yet they're very young and you're just trying to work with them. And you can't only be in the sandbox for so long before you say, you know, it's just not going to work here. So Jay Triano, what is he going to say? No, I don't want to be. Coach, do you want to be the guy here permanently? Well, no, I don't. Or that's a decision for upstairs. No, he came right out and said, I want to be the guy. There's been some names that have been floated by me from agents that have said, well, what would it look like if this guy came here? And I'll give you an example. So let's just say the Suns do the right thing and keep losing. Let's just say they're in position and they do have the shot to take DeAndre Ayton. Let's see what happens with Sean Miller. This was run by me from some people whose opinions I respect. Let's see what happens with Sean Miller. Sean Miller's been in Tucson a long time. Robert Sarver's down in Tucson a lot. He's seen him play, seen him coach, seen his teams. DeAndre Ayton, Sean Miller, package deal, come to the Suns, makes a lot of sense. Fun to talk about on a talk show. So you dig a little deeper and you talk to some other people and they're like, well, but yeah, I could see that. And these are not media people. These are people that are industry side guys. Is Sean Miller ready to make that next step? So it's something that I would say if Jay Triano is not the guy for Robert Sarver, and I can't imagine sitting here on February 21st that Robert Sarver knows who his coach is going to be long term. He fired the guy that he had in place a couple games into this season. So you would like to think that everything is just, you know, nice and normal. But let's say U of A has a short tournament run, and I think they could. They have a great big man. How many times are the people of Tucson, and there is a new athletic director down there, they're going to say, you know what, we've hit our mark. Maybe it's time for Sean to go. Maybe he is. Maybe on his front, it's, I've been here long enough. Maybe this thing that's going on off the court with the FBI, there's a lot of maybes around Sean Miller, in my opinion, here in the next 4 to 6 weeks. And to me, the number one player should be DeAndre Ayton here. So it's just something that I'm looking at. The Mark Cuban stuff I'll get to a little bit later in the show, but for now we'll step aside. Jordan Hamm will join us from the Diamondbacks facility after this timeout. We'll talk with Jordan about the big trade that came down. We'll also hear from the general manager of the Diamondbacks, who Jordan just got out of a press conference with. That is next. I am Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, and our television show Fox Sports Arizona airs tonight with four airings. Jordan is actually hosting tonight's show, and he's a man of many talents. He joins us now from the Diamondbacks. So you just got out of this press conference with Mike Hazen. Jordan, just your own opinion first. Have they solved everything in the last 48 hours with JD leaving in the addition of two outfielders?
I don't know if they've solved everything, but they are in a much, much better place than they were 48 hours ago. The outfield was very thin coming into this spring, and you know, even with one of those key guys being AJ Pollock, who two of the past 3 years has missed significant time due to injury, so you needed to create that sort of depth. Chris Owings was also an option out there. He's been battling injuries. Chris Herman's an option out there. He's been battling injuries. Yasmani Tomas has been out there. He's been battling injuries. So the fact that they were first able to go get Dyson, a speed guy who has a lot of flexibility, can play all three outfield positions, is just huge for them. It'll help in defense. They were seventh in the league last year in terms of stolen bases, and Torey Lovello said that's a huge part of their offense. So to have a guy that had 28 stolen bases last year is a very big addition. And then you bring in Steven Souza Jr., who has that power, that I'm not going to say same level of J.D. Martinez, but a guy who has a big power bat that can protect the A.J. Pollocks, the Paul Goldschmidts, the Jake Lambs, mm-hmm. and really you know, lengthen out that lineup quite a bit as a power bat. I think that they've done a very nice job getting creative, and that's the word that Mike Hazen has said constantly throughout this process of trying to help build up this roster and improve this roster. They don't have the budget that the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Yankees have, but the fact that he was able to get creative and get two guys that I think can really help this ball club is just a great move by him and a great move by this team.
Jordan Hamm right there at the Diamondbacks facility right after Mike Hazen speaking about the deal, getting Souza here. In terms of Souza and position, strictly a right fielder? Can he play both corners? What's their plan? I've had some fans send me notes on that.
They have said they haven't really specified necessarily. My guess would be right field, just mm-hmm. because Torey Lovello has told us that he thinks David Peralta is at his strongest when he's in left field. So the natural progression would have Peralta in left, Pollock in center, and then Souza in right. But they said that he was an above average defender. So that also helps in terms of just the overall defense of that outfield. So I would expect him to be a right fielder. But as we've seen last year with Torey Lovello, he can get pretty creative with those lineups and moving guys around. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him in left as well.
Okay, 65% contact ratio for Souza. And I'm not the most analytics guy, right? But and that's up from where it was a year ago. Like, he's getting better plate discipline. But is there a hole in this guy's swing? Because when you see 30 home runs and just 70 RBIs, it makes you think all or nothing. Am I wrong on that?
I think that is fair. I think that also could speak to the rest of the Tampa Bay lineup last year as well. But they, as you said, there was an improved walk rate. There was an improved strikeout rate for him over the past year or so, but it's still 29% that he's striking out. So I think they believe that he can continue to improve upon that. He took really big steps forward last year, but there certainly is quite a ways to go for him. You know, if he was on this Diamondbacks team last year, he would have led the team in strikeouts by probably about 30. Over Goldschmidt. So he does strike out quite a bit, but he does provide quite a bit of pop as well.
All right, so from my point of view sitting here, now the big questions, because the outfield's pretty much set, but Tomas's future, do they buy him out? Do they find somebody, anybody, to take them off their hands? One. Two, who the second baseman shortstop combination is going to be, or is that going to rotate day by day? Those, to me, seem to be the biggest questions coming into camp. with a full squad. What about you? You're there every day. I'm not.
I would say those two are at the top of the list. And now that Anthony Bonda has been traded, mm-hmm. the depth at the pitching on the back end of that rotation.
Yeah, that's true.
You still have Shelby Miller coming back from injury. I think Bonda was going to be maybe potentially start the year as their long reliever, maybe kind of go down to AAA and be that ace for them and then come up in a spot start. But we saw that last year with all those injuries at the beginning of the year. You saw Zach Godley come up and not miss a beat, and that was so huge for them. But Mike Hazen did say he was comfortable dealing Bonda. He knew that this deal wouldn't happen if he didn't have to send two really good players in Brandon Drury and Anthony Bonda, and then two players to be named later. That has to happen by May 1st. But just the fact that that depth is still there, he feels comfortable, but he's aware that there could be it could be a little thin for them moving forward. So that's something he's continuing to keep an eye on. So I'd say that's an area of potential improvement as well.
All right, let's go off that. Thanks, Jordan. There's Jordan Hamm there at the Diamondbacks, right after Mike Hazen doing his thing. Jody Jackson is on the other side. Then at the top of the hour, Mike Vaught, talk to the Lopes. Looking forward to talking to Jody Jackson. That is next from Fox Sports Arizona, Coyotes and Diamondbacks and whatever else, the cardboard Jody at FanFest Day. I got to make fun of her on that. That's next. Good Wednesday, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, and of course our partnership with Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, is on tonight. Jordan Hamm sitting in the hot seat. And now it is time to put on my agent cap, because she is the most talented person, hardest working person I know in all of Phoenix media. Every time I have Jody Jackson on, it is, man, you are so busy. You're going all over the place. It's good to hear
you. You don't want to get those other media mad at you, you know. I mean, they might be in the running for those things.
Yeah, too. They don't want me to
represent
them.
Including yourself.
No, I'm not the hardest working guy. I mean, come on. I'm not the one that does.
Busted a little more than you let on, but yeah.
I'm not the one that does. I'm not the one that does quick changes in parking lots going from one event to the other.
Well, that's true. I am a little insane too.
I have kind of done that. I used to do that. Let me put it to you that way. First of all, it's good to hear your voice. How are things with you?
Things are good. Things are ramping up a bit. We've got three hockey games this week. We've got baseball. Obviously, I'm out here at beautiful Salt River, chilly Salt River. By the way, memo to all the media here complaining about the weather. It'll be fine in like 5 days,
oh my
everyone,
gosh.
Okay?
Wah.
Everyone, these northerners, oh, let's just have it in the northeast. No, it's going to be better here in a few days. It's a little chilly to start. It's beautiful. It's sunny. It's good. Everybody's out here. Diamondbacks are making moves. And the heavy lifting is over, as Mike Hazen put it. I kind of asked him, are you done now? You know, you're never really done. But he said, yes. You know, the heavy lifting is over. And yeah, there'll be other things maybe that come up, but this team is ready to go as is right now.
Let me circle back to baseball in a minute, because I think that the hockey team, and you've been there for a lot of nights where they could introduce a fan over in Section 124, because there's nobody else in Section 124, and that's just a fact. Anybody thinks I'm picking on the Coyotes? No, I'm being truthful. And now they've won 5 of 7. And the two that they lost were pretty narrow defeats as well. Are they finally figuring this thing out after all these years?
After all these years, wow. So we're going from years back. Yes, in some respects, yes. You'll always, and you know me, it starts with pitching or it starts with goaltending.
Yeah.
It starts in football, it starts with stopping the run for me. So it starts with Antti Raanta. He's healthy. He's gaining some confidence. He had all these strange things. He had injuries. He had a car accident on the 101 that shook him up a little. I mean, he's kind of finding a groove right now. And then the group around him is finding some chemistry. They're gaining confidence and belief in themselves, and they're getting scoring from all the people you would expect, and then some help from other guys. Like, you know, during this run, defensemen have kind of led the way. They kind of get the scoring started, and then the other guys were kind of coming along. The guys you would expect, more like a Perlini or a Keller. So, yeah, it's been fun to watch. It's a maturation, and I think everyone maybe expected it to be this to be happening in November or December, mm-hmm. and it didn't. You know, it just didn't, and it took a while. But it's fun to watch right now, and last couple games have really been low scoring games. So I think this week when we see them tomorrow against Calgary and then over the weekend with two games, you know, maybe look for everything to come together and continue to, I mean, they've won four in a row for the first time.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it's fun. I was actually out here at FanFest, but there was a good crowd I heard the other day for the matinee. And, you know, you'd hope that it would spur people to come on out and check out the Coyotes because it's going to go pretty quickly here. With the season, you know, you have basically a month and a half of the season left. So
the deal, Jody, that I want to know is, have they taken on the mentality of Tocchet is always an angle that media does use when talking about a team that is starting to have some success and win? I'm going to go a little bit deeper than that and say, have they taken on the attitude of an organization that has a new coach, that has a young GM that seems to me to be competent and aggressive? And even on the top of the ownership table there with Steve Patterson leading the way within the walls, they've got some fresh faces and some competent faces from my point of view. Is all of that working together for their success on the ice, or am I complicating this issue? It's just, Brad, they've hit a good spot in their schedule, and they're winning some games.
No. I mean, they've run into some tough teams. I think you hit on it there with Tocchet in particular. He's been really pretty patient through this process. It had to have been extremely frustrating early on. They have weeded out some players that they didn't want on this roster. That will continue, I'm sure, into next year. But right now, this group is much more a group that's cohesive, that's following the system. I mean, he pretty much flat out said there were guys that were kind of freelancing and not following within the constraints of the system, and that was a problem. And it's a system that allows for, you know, compared to Dave Tippett, allows for, you know, taking some chances and offensive play, but you have to stick with it. You have to stick to those general principles when you're out on the ice. And I think it was a combination of a new system and very young players. And everything that you mentioned, I think Tocchet has been, and this is where you're going to see him really blossom, I think, as the leader that this team needs. I believe that he is that person.
In your opinion, do they make deals or not on the deadline?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure about that. I've heard John Chayka speak about it, and he really hasn't played his hand. I don't expect anything major to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it would depend on if there's interest from others on some value, guys of value with the Coyotes. They aren't going to trade these young core players. So I really don't expect anything major to happen, though.
All right. Jody Jackson's with us. She is over at Salt River Field. She's with the Diamondbacks. It leads me perfectly. You mentioned earlier how you were at FanFest. Is it true at FanFest that there was a cardboard cutout of you? And if so, did you grab hold of that cardboard cutout from the Diamondbacks and you now have possession of it?
Okay, I do not have possession of it. I believe it is in the hands of Brett Hansen over at our office.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what is in store for cardboard Jody Jackson. I don't know of any plan for it. So it may end up, my daughter asked if we could have it. I said, honey, I don't know. I don't know if anything else is going to be done with it. But no, I think it was I really don't know who came up with the idea, but I think it was part of the virtual reality segment of FanFest, right? So it was a little weird. And then part of my mic kind of broke off, so that had to be repaired. She had to be repaired. So it was quite an adventure.
I had when I was at Channel 3, because they love doing cardboard cutouts of all of us, and when I left there, I demanded my cardboard cutout. My
That's a tall one for you.
It was a very tall one. I had a hard time fitting in my
cardboard.
Car. A lot of cardboard, doggone it. A lot of trees killed for that one. And my daughter, in her senior year of high school, actually took it with her in her car every day and put it in shopping carts and took it everywhere. So,
I thought you were going to say she put it in the HOV lane.
That'd be a smart move. That'd be a smart move. But
especially
as much driving as you do, that'd be a smart move. Hey, two Jodies.
Believe me, I would love it, but I try to be law abiding for the most part.
All right. So to that end, with the Diamondbacks, they make these two moves. JD's gone. JD was a nice guy who did what he was supposed to do, in my opinion. The word mercenary, some people will say, well, that's really harsh. That's not very nice.
Yeah.
JD told the Tigers, I am not resigning. So they sent him to the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Then JD went out on the open market and decided to make money. that is somewhat of a mercenary role in baseball, and that just happens in pro sports. I have no problem with JD doing that. One. Two, I really like what they've done here because they could have gone some directions with older guys that come in that just are have name value. And for the hardcore baseball fan, they know Souza, right? And they know Dyson. But for the average fan, which makes up 90% of Arizona's baseball audience, I think they're just going to look at this and say, this is fine. I don't think there's going to be a big uproar over losing J.D. Martinez, or am I wrong on this?
Well, no, I think you're right, and I love your view on it. That's my view also. You know, the people, it's hard because I know I love the fans and I love their passion.
Sure.
But when you look at J.D. coming over, he was kind of a borrow, right?
Yes.
I mean, he was... But I think, unfortunately, because of what he did, which was ridiculous, I guess it's funny when you say, I know what you mean when you say he did what he was supposed to do, which he did, but, you know, no one expected him to do. I mean, the moments that he gave us were incredible. The four home runs at Dodger Stadium, just some of those moments hitting homer after homer, and a lot of them at home. I mean, he did it at home and on the road, but, I mean, fans really remember that and cherish that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it kind of gave everyone a false sense of, like, he's ours. He's a Diamondback, you know. But that was never really the plan. I mean, would it have been nice? You know, maybe. But they knew financially that was not going to be. And then he upped his value with that. But with everything happening in baseball, their value didn't really go up as much as guys thought. But, yeah, he had an amazing couple of months. And, I agree with you again on the front of what they're doing here is pretty impressive. They get a couple guys who are veterans, who have experience, who are also young enough to produce. And Souza, they have 3 years of control.
Yep.
He's making $3.5 million this year.
Yep.
He's very controllable. He's relatively cheap for a guy who hit 30 home runs last year. I guess, you know, you just hope that he continues. I know he dipped at the end of last year, but he had a good year. He took a step forward as if you look at the whole year, and you hope he continues that. And you hope, you know, being on the phone on a conference call with him today, he just seems like this is going to be a good fit. He said he met Goldie and was initially like connected with him immediately. He just felt like their personalities were similar. They apparently went on a retreat in Nashville that involved hunting and a leadership retreat. And so that seems like a good fit. If you've got two guys that are, if you've got a guy like Goldie, in addition to Goldie, at least from a leadership standpoint, and then, you know, he said he knows Jake Lamb from Seattle and went through the minors in Washington with Robbie and knows Nick Ahmed a little bit.
Wow.
It just seems like it's going to be a good fit. And, you know, I follow Fox Sports Florida a lot just because of my home teams, and I've seen last year interviews would pop up if he hit a walk-off with their reporter, you know, and I would hear him. You know, I didn't know much about him as far as talking to him and just hearing him talk. I remember thinking after one of his game-winning hits or something on the field and thinking, well, he's pretty insightful and, you know, pretty good interview. So he's a guy that you think will be interesting to talk to through the year and hopefully produce for this team. And then Dyson is a guy who can hopefully add speed and versatility. I think it brings us to the next question, though, which is what is the plan for Yasmani Tomas? And I don't think any of us really know.
Yeah. Well, we know that he has a big contract number.
At least I don't know.
he has an enormous contract number. That's what I know. I know that it's a load.
Yeah, but I love that they – look, is it painful to pay for a player that isn't producing to the level that you're paying him? Yes. But I love that they're not letting it hamstring them. I love that.
That's true.
You know, obviously they must have gotten the green light from Ken Kendrick to go up toward 130 with the payroll, which is a record. So I love that they're not using that as a crutch, and they didn't do that last year either, really. So.
Yeah. This is why you are so good at what you do. This has been a very enjoyable segment, so I'm going to let you go off that before I screw it up. So it's good hearing your voice. I'll see you down the road. Thanks.
All right, Brad, take care.
Always good talking with Jody Jackson over there at Fox Sports Arizona. Really good at what she does day in and day out. It's good stuff. On the other side, Steve Nash has come into the news cycle, from my understanding, while we've been on the air. I'm going to get into that and a few other things before we get out of here. At the top of the hour, though, we turn over to Talk to the Lopes with Mike Vaught. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University. This week, the vice president of athletics, their AD. That comes up in about 10 minutes. I'm Brad Sussmat. Talk to the Lopes comes up in just a couple of minutes. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Before we get out of here, Steve Nash is in the news cycle today. And Steve Nash, this last weekend, was put into the ballot for this year's Basketball Hall of Fame. He's going to make it. That's a no-brainer. This story, though, is interesting to me, and it does speak to what Steve Nash is all about. Steve Nash is about to sign a deal to become a studio analyst for soccer, not for the NBA. Steve Nash and Turner Sports are closing in on a deal where Nash would be a studio analyst on coverage of the UEFA Champions League coverage when it goes from Fox to Turner's TNT, TBS, and True TV. Champions League, the top club tournament in the world. It has Man City, Real Madrid, and Barcelona. So, of course, we know Steve Nash is the basketball player, but those of us that covered Steve through the years and just visited with Steve are not at all surprised by this bit of news. Steve is the general manager of the Canadian national basketball team right now. He is also a consultant for the Golden State Warriors. I spent about 30 minutes with Steve last year when the NBA All-Star Game was here in the Valley, and it's always good to catch up with him, and he's so gracious with his time and so smart. So way, way, way smart in his thinking. I've seen him on social media here in the last few days after the shootings in Florida. And what he has to say, it's hard to disagree with. So Steve is going to be doing soccer analyst work. It's good for Steve Nash. And this year he will be going in to the Basketball Hall of Fame. There's not a question in my mind about that. And of course, he's a Suns Ring of Honor guy and has everything going for him. But soccer analyst Steve Nash, not a surprise at all. Suns are off tonight. They actually don't play until Friday. The Coyotes are off till tomorrow. So this is one of those days where you've got to watch the football show tonight, of course. Over on Fox Sports Arizona, Jordan is in hosting this week. So you can check out multiple airings. That is tonight. I believe the first airing is at 6 o'clock tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Edwin Rodriguez is our chairman of the board. Eric, as always, produces. On the other side, we have Talk to the Lopes with Mike Vaught this week, all things around Grand Canyon University. Yeah, one of the questions, because you all send it in, is football coming to GCU anytime soon? I don't know. Whenever I do a GCU thing with Mike or Brian Mueller, that's what most people want to talk about. We'll get into other things as well. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmad. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University Athletics, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Our show streams on AZ Central every day. And, of course, our television show on Fox Sports Arizona. We appreciate our partnerships across the all platforms. Mike Vaught is with us this week, Vice President of Athletics on Talk to the Lopes. After the 10-2 initiative, I could call him Vice President of Buildings and Grounds, I suppose, Mike, right? 3.5 years on the case and 10 buildings done in 2 years. You actually, I'm sure, were able to take a breath last week with the opening of the softball and the baseball stadium. It's been quite a run for you.
Good morning, Brad. It's great to be with you. Yeah, it's an exciting time here at GCU. You know, just as a university, there's so much growth, and part of the campus build-out has been our athletic facilities, and we just completed our last one last Friday, like you mentioned, with the opening of our new baseball stadium, and it's if you haven't seen it, come on out. It's an incredible facility. It's definitely one of the top in the country for our baseball program to participate in.
Oh, I mentioned 10-2, so is there any plans for future build-out now? Because you've just gone through this facility overgrade. What's next on the facility front, Mike?
Well, that's a great question, and part of the 10-2 was by and large because of the 4-year transition to Division I. We had a lot of areas to build out to get up to Division I standard, and we've checked all those boxes over the past 4 years, and from a facility standpoint, we're in excellent shape. As you know, facilities are really important in recruiting and competition. Student athletes really look at that when they're looking at schools, and we have great facilities in all areas now, and we're pretty much set for a while. I was laughing the other day, the construction meetings won't be as often now. We've been to a lot of construction meetings the last 2 years.
You can follow Mike on Twitter at GCU_AD. He puts up a lot of cool stuff that's not just sports related. It's inspirational rate as well. And what is your view on the social side, Mike? What do you want to get across? Because you have this title, Vice President of Athletics, but in reading your Twitter side, your social side, you're much deeper than that.
You know, I just think that social media is really important in today's society. I think it's a good way to to get messages out. It's a good vehicle to connect with people. And it's interesting, you know, to look at your followers and see where parts of the country they're coming from and who they are. And, you know, we send a quote of the day out every morning that just got some meaningful, hopefully will touch somebody's life along the way just by seeing that quote to kick their day off every day. And then we try to keep up with our sports teams and give people an inside, behind-the-scenes look at some of the things that are going on. And I really wish we had, you know, better Wi-Fi service in some of the places we play, because I try to tweet and send pictures and Instagram stuff from games, but it's some of the locations, once they get a big crowd in there, we don't have, you know, cell service well or Wi-Fi at a high enough standard to really get the stuff out. So as we go through the next few years, I've really kept up with a lot of schools, and everybody's trying to improve those areas. So hopefully we can even do better in the future.
Talk to the Lopes every Wednesday here on Sports 360 AZ. The walk-off win against TCU by the baseball team on Sunday, would that go down as one of your top moments so far in the 3.5 years on the job at GCU?
We've had a lot of great moments, but that's got to be toward the top of the list. Anytime you can compete and defeat a top team that's nationally ranked every year in the College World Series every year, and they have a great baseball program there at TCU. And, you know, we had our chances on Friday night. We could have swept the series. It went right to the wire. And then to come back Sunday and win in 12 innings the way we did, I thought our players showed a lot of character. They never gave up. They could have thrown in the towel. They didn't. We have a scrappy bunch this year, and there was a lot of excitement in the stadium when that final run scored.
And even last night, you know, or the other night against Washington, last night against Washington State, my days are running together. You fight and claw against a Pac-12 team, and you fight back. You end up coming up short. But you're scheduling, and I threw out on Twitter this morning that you and I were going to visit, and I had questions about scheduling and how involved do you get, and how is it you're able to get a Washington State or a TCU to come here?
Well, it's, you know, a lot of it has to do with relationships, and our coaches handle their scheduling. We just kind of help them along the way if they need help, and it's all about relationships, just like anything in life. And we have good relationships across the country with different coaches and different athletic administrations, and the more that we can play those named schools, the better it's going to improve our program, playing that level of competition. It'll improve our RPI in the end, which will help us at the end of the year. And we've tried to schedule up in a lot of our sports. Softball, you know, they played Stanford, Arkansas last weekend. They've got a lot of top name teams. They opened up with the defending national champion Oklahoma Sooners here a couple weeks ago. And we're trying to do that in all of our sports. We're going to continue to do that because it's only going to make us better in a lot of areas.
Yeah, every week when I have coaches on, and even when occasionally we'll have a player on the show, the subject of scheduling is brought up, and your coaches, without fail, all want this type of schedule. You know, it's easy to pad schedules that end up with more wins than losses, but I've not seen them come away, shine away from playing a deep schedule.
Absolutely, and that's kind of our philosophy of where we want to go with our program. And coaches are doing a good job. I mean, anytime you can bring Pac-12 teams, Big 12 teams, those type of people on our campus and play them away, that's even a better situation for us. And I think it really helps some of the other schools as far as travel, because we're in a good location. Mm-hmm. You know, for the spring sports, we have great weather. Now we have great facilities, so I think it's going to be more attractive in the future.
Talk to the Lopes. Mike Vaught with us this week, Vice President of Athletics. All right, so I mentioned earlier I threw out on Twitter questions for you. Unfortunately, 30 of the 38 that I got in the last couple of hours have to do with football coming to GCU. And this is something that Brian Mueller and I have discussed through the years, and there's never anything new, but people, for some reason, and I'm not sure, Mike, if it goes back to hosting the Geico All-Star football game at Chandler High back in December, but I started getting the high school coaches and people around town saying, is GCU reconsidering their stance on football? So I'll throw it to you. What is the stance on football?
Well, first, we enjoyed hosting that Geico Championship Series. We have a great relationship with ESPN. And, you know, anytime you can get your university and your facilities on a national TV broadcast on their network for, you know, 5 or 6 hours, it's just a win for everyone. So we really enjoyed hosting that series. There was 4 great teams here, a lot of great Division I players. It really brought a lot of attention to our university. As far as the football question, not in the immediate future. The way the college landscape is right now, it changes daily. Mm-hmm. I still believe there's going to be a lot of shifts and changes between conference and membership in the next few years as these TV contracts start to expire. And, for a mid-major school like us, the football's a challenge. It's a big undertaking to put a football program in place. And we've really committed to the 21 sports we have. We have a really good fall group. Those programs are building with volleyball and our two soccer teams. And we've built great facilities, the soccer facility you've seen, which is one of the best in the country. And we want that to be our fall sport. You know, we live in a soccer state. We live in a soccer community, and we're the only Division I soccer team in the state of Arizona, men's team. And that's what we want to build, and our students are rallying behind that. The Havocs do a fantastic job at our soccer games. If you've been there, you'll see it's pretty amazing. And that's kind of the direction we're going right now. Never say never. Conference affiliation 10 or 15 years from now, it may be required to have a football program. I just don't know where the landscape's going. But right now that's our focus, and we're really happy with where we are.
Talk about basketball on both sides. I would look at Nicole and the job that she's doing on the women's side and say, wow, they're really playing well this year, doing it with a lot of seniors. On Dan's side, it looks like a struggle offensively, and maybe they get that together and get Josh going and some other players up to the WAC tournament. We'll be up there in Las Vegas covering all of that. But I'm curious your view. Maybe I'm dead flat wrong on basketball, and you may see it differently.
Nicole has done a fantastic job with our women's program. She came in here, I think there were 7 players on the roster when she arrived, and kind of had her back against the wall recruiting. And if you know Nicole, she has a contagious smile. She has a great personality, and she's a good teacher. Her and her staff are great teachers, and they've really taken the time to work fundamentals and build kind of from the ground up. And she's been amazing, the things they've accomplished this year, her and her staff and our student athletes. We're right there in the mix to win the conference championship, coming out with 3 games left. And, you know, when you get to the Vegas tournament, anything can happen.
Right.
And we've got a shot to maybe walk out of there with a championship on the women's side. But we're really excited. They've definitely exceeded all expectations for this year. She's done a fantastic job, and I know in the future she's going to bring some good recruits in here. She's really built a foundation to really get that program going and do some great things. Coach Marley on the men's side, we're a pretty competitive league this year. When you look at the top 4 or 5 teams, and with 3 games left for most schools, there's still a lot of things that can happen. But like I mentioned with the women's tournament, it comes down to that Vegas tournament, though, just like you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Anybody can win that, and when you win the WAC tournament in Vegas, you get the automatic to the NCAA. And that's still an option for us, and we're really excited about it. We're playing great defense. We're a great defensive team, and when you can do that, you have a chance to win each and every week.
Couple of the questions with Mike Vaught on Talk to the Lopes this week, Vice President of Athletics at GCU. We talk GCU every week here on Sports 360 AZ, our partnership with AZ Central Sports and with Fox Sports Arizona. Before I get you out of here, the Olympic side of things, it's interesting where you have swimmers that are tapering, you have track and field going on, and guys that are going for bigger than just conference. How do you see those sports and the Olympic side of what's going on at GCU?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because they're forgotten sometimes. Mm-hmm. They don't get the recognition some of the other sports, you know, get. And
right.
Our swimming and diving team, they left this morning for Houston for the WAC Championships. They will actually be the first group to represent GCU and the NCAAs. They've already have some people qualified from Indianapolis. Third week of March, I'll be going up there with them. The first thing I asked was, where's the NCAAs? I want to go with you. And they said, Minnesota. And my second question was, I hope they have an indoor pool. It's going to be a little brisk up there the third week of March. But those kids are really excited. They've done a fantastic job. And Coach Schaefer, year in and year out, does a fantastic job. And same with track and field. They headed to Boise for the for WAC Championships this week, and they're going to have qualifiers for the NCAAs also. So those two sports, both coaches, Coach Flood and Coach Schaefer, do a great job, and they don't get the recognition. You know, some of the other sports do, but they should, because the accomplishments they've achieved, the school records they've broken, and just the things they've done with those kids are amazing.
Yeah. No, there's no question about it. Every week I enjoy visiting with the coaches from all sports. Last question. Is there anything else I haven't asked you, Mike, that you're like, Brad, here's the story this year to put a bow on where GCU is athletically? It could be a player, could be a team, could be a coach. It just could be something that you see within the athletic department.
Well, the first thing that came to mind when you asked that, Brad, was what a pleasure it is to work at GCU. And just it's the people here that make GCU special. The people within the athletic department, our group is fantastic, the university group, but we're all one family. We all collaborate. We all work together, you know, and that's what makes organizations successful. And that's the special thing about GCU is President Mueller and his leadership team. And from there down, just through the groups of different people around campus, it's a pleasant place to go to work every day. Everybody gets along, supports each other, and it's just a fantastic place. And I think that's kind of an inside piece of information that the public probably doesn't get a lot, but that's what makes any organization go is the relationships and the people, and this is truly one of those special places.
That's great to hear. We will see you in Las Vegas. We'll be up there all during the week for both the men's and women's basketball, and I appreciate you jumping on the show with us. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. Great being with you. Have a great day.
It's Mike Vaught with us. That is the Vice President of Athletics at Grand Canyon University, and that is Talk to the Lopes.